Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Going to give you a brief update on what is happening with the Africa Mission. We have a group coming from Kansas primarily, and they are a group from the Encounter Missions that have been taking place here in Kansas the last several years, Encountering God missions and conferences, and so we are very excited about them coming over to visit us in Kenya in July, and it's going to be a rather large group, even some children involved and along with them, and so we're going to hold a three-day Encountering God conference at our home church in Makunda, Living Water Church, and that conference will have a track for women and a track for men, and we're going to have teaching sessions and deliverance sessions and prayer sessions, foot washing sessions, baptisms, everything that you can imagine that would be good to help spread the word of God, to help spread the kingdom gospel, and so that is what they're going to be doing, and then we'll end up the last couple of days of the mission out at the Masai Mara, looking at the big animals, the lions and the elephants and the giraffes and all that. And so keep that in your prayers that we are going to have a mighty conference, and hopefully this will be an annual affair. People will come over every year, and they'll be coming to spread the gospel. They'll be coming to hold a conference and to share the love of Jesus from the United States and share it with the people in Kenya. And so this is a God-ordained vision that is coming to pass, and we thank the Lord for that. Also, we have a crusade planned in Tanzania. Well, we're actually working on the planning, and that is coming up in August, and we're going to be going back to Dar es Salaam, the big city on the coast of Tanzania, and there'll be many people there, many singers. Tanzania is full of good gospel singers. It's a mother load of riches of good gospel singers, and so we thank the Lord for that. We're going to be teaming up again with Bonnie Mwitege and some of the great gospel singers in Tanzania for a big crusade there, so keep that in your prayers as well as we look forward to going back to Kenya and back to Africa to preach the gospel. Well, beloved, today we're taking up part three of the series we started 3 weeks ago. It's called Spiritual Warfare, and there's so many aspects to spiritual warfare, you can't even start to begin to tell all of the aspects. A person could preach easily for a whole year on spiritual warfare, because basically that's what the kingdom gospel is all about. That's what your walk on this earth is all about. It's all about warfare. It's all about God's plan for your life, trying to instill in you a vision for God's plan for your life, and at the same time, our adversary, the devil, is trying to take that plan and separate you from God, trying to take that plan and take it away from you and not give you an opportunity to go forward and to fulfill the plans of God in your life. And so you are in a battle, as we have spoken the last 2 weeks. You are in a battle. You may not even realize it. You're in a battle. I'm in a battle. Everybody on this earth is in a battle. There's massive deception. There's massive trickery and massive lies going on because of the enemy is tricking people and deceiving them and getting them to believe lies about their life. But I want you to know, beloved, God has a beautiful plan for your life. He has a plan of success for your life, not just earthly success, but success in the idea that you're going to be with Him for all eternity and you're going to fulfill your destiny that He spoke over you even before you were born. That plan that God has for your life, He wants to see it come to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, a great scripture for you to commit to memory. Faithful is He who called you, and He will see it come to pass, or He will do it. And so God's plan for you is intact. It doesn't matter if you're trapped in sin now, if you're living in a sinful lifestyle, or whatever it is plaguing you. Maybe nothing is plaguing you, but I doubt it. Everybody has battles. Everybody has problems in life. And so whatever it is, God has spoken over you. He wants to see it come to pass. He wants you to rejoice in knowing that you're accomplishing God's purpose for your life every single day. And when you get up, you know that you're in the will of God. When you get up, you know you're going to defeat the enemy. And so that is God's plan for your life. And so that is what we're talking about today, the battle that you're in and how you can succeed and come out victorious, be a conqueror and not be defeated by the enemy of your life. Well, beloved, today we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 28. And this is one of the great scriptures in the Old Testament. This is a picture of Satan, or the enemy of our life, our adversary. This is a picture of him spoken through a human being, the Prince of Tyre. Chapter 28, verse 2, the word of the Lord says, according to Ezekiel, verse 2, "Son of man, say to the Prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God." And so this narrative starts about the Prince of Tyre, but the Lord is actually giving us a picture of Satan, of the demonic being we know of as Satan or Lucifer, as he was in heaven before he fell. And we talked about last week from Isaiah chapter 14, the fall of Lucifer. And so today we're going to look more at the attributes of Lucifer, because I don't want to glorify Lucifer, but I want you to know that we have a worthy opponent. We have a worthy adversary, a devil, a spirit being who is intent on destroying you, who is intent on taking you away from the kingdom of God and God's plan for your life. And so we're going to look at this opponent, this adversary that we have. And so in verse 2, it says, "Because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god." Well, this tells a lot about Satan, about Lucifer. It says his heart was lifted up. He was full of pride. He was very exalted in his own mind, of his own purpose, of his own plan, of his own beauty. He was exalted in his own mind, and that is the opposite of what God says for you. The Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. When you stay low, when you stay humble, God will exalt you. He will place you before men. He will place you before kings. He will place you before congregations. But when you are exalting yourself, when you are enamored with your own beauty, with your own intelligence, with your own wisdom, and pride takes over in your life, beloved, get ready, because you are getting yourself prepared for a fall. The Bible says pride comes before destruction. And so when you get filled up with pride, when you get filled up with how wonderful you are and how great you are, that is just the devil working through you. You may have a great farm. You may have lots of machinery. You may have lots of business associations and business contacts and business activity. That's all well and good. But when you think that you're the cause of it all, and you think that you're making it all go round, and you are the source of all your wisdom and all your intelligence and all of your blessings, beloved, you are getting set up for the fall. The devil is setting you up so that you're going to take a great fall. Well, in verse 3, Ezekiel goes on to say, "Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you." Well, we know Daniel was the prophet in the Old Testament, and he was able to see dreams and visions. They didn't even have to tell him about the dream. He could tell the king what the dream was and what the vision was, and then Daniel could give the interpretation. And so he had great wisdom, and Daniel's wisdom was above any of the other people in the East at that time. In fact, God elevated Daniel to be the number two in the kingdom over in Susa, over in Babylon. Daniel was elevated to where he was actually had control in a sense. He had a position where he was in control of the kingdom, and he was number two, the associate of the king, standing beside the king. And so when you start to think you have the wisdom of Daniel as this person, the king of Prince of Tyre, when you start to think you have more wisdom than Daniel, and sometimes, you know, we have sayings about people that they are a smart aleck or they are a smart whatever, and that is true. Sometimes people think they're pretty crafty. People think they're pretty wise. People think they're full of wisdom. And God says, when you think you're that smart and you're that wise, then you are setting yourself up for a fall as well. Verse 4, with your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. Well, one of the things that has really struck me as I am back in the USA here for a short furlough time, one of the things that has really struck me is just America is so rich. There is so much, especially this part of the country. There are so many riches that the people have. They don't even realize how rich they are. People have beautiful cars. The roads are beautiful. The houses are beautiful for the most part. And everybody has a job making good money for the most part. And so the wealth and the ability of people to accumulate wealth here in America is just beyond anything that you can comprehend for Africa. If you would come look at the village people where our church is over in Kenya, you would just be shocked at how poor the people are, how defeated they are in terms of the financial abilities that they have. Half of the time they don't have food, half the time they don't have school fees, and they just beg and they steal and they borrow and they struggle to take care of the basic, just the very basic needs in their life. And here in America, people have extra houses, they have extra cars, they have big Winnebagos or big camper trailers, and the machinery here that people farm with is just out of this world. It's unbelievable. Well, I grew up with this stuff. I know it from my childhood, and yet when you go away to a place like Africa and you come back and see it, it's just shocking to me at how wonderful and how rich the people are here in this nation, the great nation of the United States of America. Well, in verse 5, it says, by your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Well, that's one of the ways the devil gets us away from God. We start to chase the almighty dollar. We start to worship the almighty dollar. We can't even think about going to church because Sunday's just another work day. And if that's you, I strongly urge you to set aside Sunday, go to church, set aside that day as the Lord's day, spend some time with the Lord in prayer and Bible study and in worship, and set aside that rat race, that chasing the almighty dollar, that trying to get another car, get another house, get another boat, get another golf cart, whatever it is. Just set aside Sunday and start to serve the Lord, and you will be blessed by it. You will have peace in your mind. God will add to your years. You'll have more years here on this earth because you're actually worshiping Him with the time that He gives you. And beloved, you don't maybe need another golf cart. You don't need another boat or another car or another house or whatever. Just be satisfied and content with what you have, because the devil, that's a big part of the warfare here in America, is just the cult or the religion of consumerism, the religion of materialism, where everybody is just in this constant rat race, trying, running to accumulate as much as they can. Half of it they don't even use. I am guilty of that. I have stuff here on my farm I haven't even touched or looked at for 20 years or more, some of it 30 years. And so that is one of the ways the devil gets us distracted away from serving God and looking to the devil for his program of accumulating wealth and riches for ourselves. And so in verse 8, well, I'm going to jump on down. You can read this on your own. Verse 8, it says, "They shall throw you down into the pit." Well, that's talking about hell. "And you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas." Well, the seas speak of humanity. It speaks of all the nations of the earth and their activities, the politics, the international relations, the trade, all of that. The seas speak of all of humanity and our activities here on this earth. God says they're going to throw you down to the pit. Well, that's where the devil ended up. He was an anointed cherub in heaven, and when he fell, when he got thrown down out of heaven, he rebelled. We talked about that last week, the rebellion of Satan, the rebellion of Lucifer. He willed himself. He desired to be above the mountain of God. He desired to sit above the throne of God. He desired to sit above the congregation, and he was a created being just like all the other angels. And so he was thrown down into the pit. It was a place, hell or Sheol, as it's called in the Old Testament, was a place that was created for the fallen angels and for Lucifer. And so that place of the pit, what we call hell, is the final destiny. Satan isn't bound there right now, and most of the angels, there are some of the fallen angels that are bound there, but most of them have freedom to roam, and they have freedom to torment, they have freedom to take us away from the kingdom of God. And so that is the spiritual battle that we fight every day. These fallen angels, directed by Lucifer, directed by Satan, these fallen angels go out every day under the direction of Lucifer, and they torment us, they tempt us, they try to get us to get away from prayer, get away from worship, get away from Bible study. When you sit down to read the Bible and you can't read it, that's the devil and the demonic horde operating in your life. When you get ready to pray and you can't pray, that's the demonic horde operating in your life. When you get ready to go to church and the devil says, "No, you don't need to go to church today, you can just stay home," that's the devil and the demonic horde operating in your life. And so when you get to the point, and some of you maybe have never chosen Jesus, you've never accepted Jesus and repented of your sins and accepted the offer of salvation, some of you need to do that today. You need to do that. You need to say, "Jesus, I want to serve you. I have made a mess of my life. I have made a futile attempt to control my own life and run my own life and direct my own life, and I realize that it's futile. I realize that I'm not making any headway, that I'm actually going farther and farther down in toward the pit." If you're in that place, beloved, you need to repent. You need to get down on your knees and receive Jesus and confess your sins, and then you will start to go the other direction. You'll start to go towards heaven and not towards the pit, and not towards the plan that the devil has for your life. Well, in verse 12 of this same chapter, this is another picture of the king of Tyre. And the Lord says, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." Well, we know the devil showed up in Eden, the garden of God. We know the devil showed up there, and he tempted Eve first, and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She took of the apple of that tree because the devil tempted her, and she fell to the temptation. She handed the apple to Adam. Adam ate of that apple also, and so the Bible says Adam sinned, Eve was deceived, but because Adam was responsible for Eve, the Bible holds him accountable for that sin. And because of the fall of Adam, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that Satan is the ruler of the world, but through Jesus Christ, we can overcome that rule of Satan. We can overcome that domination, that dominion that Satan has over our life. We can overcome that through the blood of Jesus Christ. you were in Eden, the garden of God. And then here is a description of the physical attribute of Satan. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Well, Satan was very beautiful. Lucifer was very beautiful. And sometimes the Bible says that Lucifer comes to us as an angel of light. And so he may come to you as a beautiful woman, a very handsome man. There's ways that Satan can tempt us that we can't see through right away. We need to pray about it. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. When Satan comes to tempt you, when Satan comes to deceive you, you need to pray about it and ask the Lord, Lord, is this really from you, or is just a deceptive spirit being sent to me from Satan? And many times we fall into the deceptive spirits and we don't realize it until we've already been hooked, and we're in a lifestyle of drugs, we're in a lifestyle of viewing pornography or drinking every day, drinking to drunkenness, we're in a lifestyle of fornication or whatever. And so when Satan comes, you need to pray. When temptation comes, you need to pray. You need to ask the Lord to give you wisdom, give you discernment, so that you will know that this is not a spirit sent from God. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is not an angel sent from God. This is a deceptive spirit, a demonic spirit sent from the devil to take you away from the kingdom of God. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. God made this creature, this angel, so beautiful. And he was the anointed cherub who covers. He was anointed. He was standing around the throne of God. And he was worshiping God. And he was anointed to the point where the other angels, many of the other angels, were underneath him. And he was leading them in worship and exaltation of God. And God says, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. He was up near the throne. And you walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Well, iniquity was found in Lucifer. He wanted to take over the throne of God, as I said. And so that happens to us also. We're born fairly innocent, even though we're born into a world that is fallen. We are born into a sinful world. We have a generation curses that have already been spoken over us through our family line, through the sins, not through the blood, but through our family line, the sins of our family, our mother, our father, our grandparents, all of this. But yet, as a little child, we are in a way perfect in our ways. But because we live in a fallen world, then as we grow up, temptation starts to take over attributes from our family, or patterns of behavior from our family start to influence us, start to direct us, and then we get into alliances or partnerships or agreements with demonic people and demonic plans in our life. And so eventually then we become also just like Lucifer. We start to get separated from God in our life. We start to desire the things of the devil. We start to desire riches and fame. And so the end result is we are carrying out the devil's plan for our life and not the plan of God for our life. Well, beloved, this is a picture of the battle that we're in every day. I hope that you are succeeding in your battle with the enemy. That's one of the reasons for Gather the Outcast radio broadcast, is to encourage you and to speak the word of God, not only over your life, but over this whole community, to pray for this community, to pray for this nation, to pray for the churches, the church leaders here in this community. And so we want to stay strong in the battle. We want to accomplish the purposes of God in our life. We want to accomplish God's plan that he has spoken over our lives. And so that is the purpose of Gather the Outcast radio broadcast. That is the purpose of the reason why we preach crusades in Africa. That is the reason why we preach church revivals in Africa and why we have established a church there, and all of that stuff comes from the desire of God that God has put on my heart, and He can put it on your heart. You can help support this ministry. You can come alongside this ministry and see to it that the things that God has put in my heart and your heart will be accomplished in Africa and here in the U.S. through these radio broadcasts. So if you have never accepted Jesus, do that today. Get down on your knees and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I want to confess my sins. I want to repent and turn from my wicked ways, go another direction, and God will see to it that you are saved. He is faithful and true, and He holds nothing against you, anything that you have done in the past. The Lord says He forgets your sin as far as the east is from the west, and He will forget yours as well. Well, thank you for listening today. Next week, we'll take up part four of this series of messages on spiritual warfare, and we appreciate you listening today. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down and make a contact with us today. Sit down, write us out a check of support, or go to our PayPal, and you can see that we accomplish the purposes of God for Gathered the Outcast ministry here on the earth. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.